From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to me Ahmad Faisal in English program. Hopefully you are so fine and still have spirit to listen our program today. And for these 60 minutes ahead, we would like to accompany you with various segments that cannot only entertain you, but also educate as well as inform you our several beneficial information and entertainment such as news, commentary, and also other self-information, as well as Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with news. So stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
Here is the news first day headlines. Indonesian President signs government regulation in lieu of law, Perpu, on postponement of 2020 elections. UN rights experts urge states to step up anti-slavery effort and protect most vulnerable amid COVID-19. Indonesia-Ethiopia economic cooperation affected by the COVID-19 pandemic. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo signed government regulations in lieu of law number 2/2020 concerning the election of governors, regions, and mayors. The regulation explained that the implementation of the simultaneous regional election in 2020 was postponed until December 2020 due to COVID-19 outbreak. The implementation of simultaneous local elections has been agreed to be postponed until December 2020. However, if the coronavirus pandemic has not ended in December 2020, the implementation of simultaneous local elections can be rescheduled or postponed. A UN expert has urged governments worldwide to increase protection for those most vulnerable to drifting into exploitative jobs. Inaction could lead to a sharp rise in the number of people being pushed into slavery because of the COVID-19 crisis. Tomoya Obokata, who assumed the role of the Special Rapporteur on the Contemporary Forms of Slavery, said recently that severe socio-economic effect of the COVID-19 pandemic is likely to increase the scourge of modern-day slavery, already impacting over 40 million people before the global pandemic. According to Tomoya Obokata, the lockdown-related closure of businesses has led to an increased level of unemployment in most parts of the world, pushing many previously vulnerable workers into even more precarious situations or even into illegal economies. These factors have dramatically increased people's vulnerability to exploitation, which may amount to enslavement. As Special Rapporteur for the next 3 years, Obokata will explore a range of thematic issues, including increased risk of contemporary forms of slavery linked to the socio-economic impact of COVID-19. The World Health Organization, WHO, recommends countries to retest for COVID-19 all cases of atypical pneumonia registered in December to November in the wake of reports about a potential early coronavirus case in France. WHO spokesman Christian Lindmeier told a UN briefing in Geneva on Tuesday. Earlier, media reported that a French hospital retested samples from 24 patients who tested negative for flu and were treated in December and January, and it turned out that one of them was positive for COVID-19 on December 27. Commenting on the report on French case, the spokesman said that it was not surprising as China could have coronavirus cases earlier than it was officially confirmed, while people continued traveling until it became an outbreak. According to Johns Hopkins University, the WHO declared the COVID-19 outbreak a pandemic on March 11. To date, over 3.5 million people have been infected with the new coronavirus worldwide, and more than 250,000 have succumbed to the virus. International Criminal Court prosecutor Fatou Bensouda told the UN Security Council on Tuesday that despite the limitations resulting from the novel coronavirus COVID-19 pandemic, her office is currently working on new arrest warrants for war crimes in Libya. According to Bensouda, despite some inevitable limitations caused by the COVID-19 pandemic, her office team is forging ahead with its judicial work and investigations, managing to remain active and productive in these exceptional times. Bensouda stressed that she is particularly concerned about the high number of civilian casualties reported to be resulting from airstrikes and shelling in and around Tripoli. The prosecutor said she continues to analyze information about the attacks against civilians that took place over the recent months and may constitute war crimes. Additionally, Bensouda said her team has been working on the widespread issue of arbitrary detention and the serious mistreatment of migrants and refugees in Libya. Economic cooperation between Indonesia and Ethiopia has been very well and continues to increase from year to year. Currently, there are 5 Indonesian companies investing in Ethiopia. This was made Ethiopia as the 2nd largest country that received Indonesian investment in Africa after Nigeria. However, the COVID-19 outbreak affected both the short-term and long-term economic cooperation of the 2 countries. This was conveyed by Indonesian ambassador to Ethiopia concurrently Djibouti and the African Union, Al-Bushra Basnur, in a special interview with Voice of Indonesia by phone in Jakarta on Tuesday, May 5. He gave an example of the visit of 50 Ethiopian businessmen to Indonesia, which was originally planned on March 30, 2020, was postponed due to the COVID-19 outbreak.
Rencana kedatangan sekitar 50 pengusaha Ethiopia ke Indonesia pada...
The planned visit of around 50 Ethiopian businessmen to Indonesia on 30 March, and even the business delegation scheduled to be led by a high-ranking official, namely the State Minister for Foreign Affairs, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. I myself have coordinated with the Indonesian central government regarding various activities that would be carried out in Indonesia, but unfortunately we must postpone this plan.
Harus kita tunda.
Ambassador Al-Bushra Basnur added, the first case of COVID-19 in Ethiopia was on March 13, 2020. Until May 3, 2020, in Ethiopia there have been 135 confirmed cases, 3 deaths and 75 recovered cases. Al-Bushra said that some of the COVID-19 cases in Ethiopia is from foreign nationals and Ethiopian citizens who traveled from areas affected by COVID-19. According to Al-Bushra Basnur, all 163 Indonesians in Ethiopia and 6 Indonesians in Djibouti are in a healthy condition and are not exposed to COVID-19. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia. Once the COVID-19 pandemic shows a downward trajectory and countries in ASEAN region starts to reopen, Singapore will likely propose a new protocol that would allow for a cross-border movement of people, Singapore's ambassador to Indonesia, Anil Kumar Nayar, said in a press briefing recently that ASEAN countries should sit down and explore new procedures that would allow citizens to travel in the region. The ambassador said ASEAN countries could look to efforts taken by countries like Australia and New Zealand to discuss a travel hub that could soon restart travel between the two countries. The envoy was quick to add that cross-border travel between ASEAN countries could only start if local transmission of COVID-19 could be put under control and mortality rate has reached a low level. The last item, Indonesia is looking to fast-track the local development of a COVID-19 vaccine, but concerns remain as to whether insufficient funding and facilities, as well as the country's reliance on imported materials, might hinder the initiative. The government has appointed that Aikman Institute for Molecular Biology to spearhead the vaccine development program through a consortium that includes the Health Ministry's Research and Development Agency, state-owned pharmaceutical company PT Bio Farma, and several universities. Aikman director Amin Subandrio told the Jakarta Post recently that the institute has been given a time frame of just 12 months starting in April. Aikman will send any prototype seed viruses it produces to Bio Farma, the country's sole vaccine manufacturer, for accelerated clinical trials on human volunteers. According to the plan, Bio Farma aims to mass produce the vaccine by 2022. Research and Technology Minister Bambang Brojonegoro said that the funding for Aikman will be added to as necessary. He was also well aware that Bio Farma would require large funds to manufacture the vaccine to provide coverage for the country's 260 million people. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
The distress that occurred simultaneously in all corners of the earth apparently is able to move the conscience of the world leaders to join hands to fight it. The COVID-19 pandemic, which is spread throughout the world, encourages national leaders to join forces against, overcome, and prevent it. Solidarity against the COVID emerged at a meeting of leaders from around the world held by the European Union on Tuesday, May 5th, 2020. Although conducted online, the distance between countries did not dampen the commitment of 40 state leaders to jointly fight COVID-19. As revealed by European Union President Ursula von der Leyen, who hosted the meeting, leaders of countries and governments agreed to donate funds to develop corona vaccines and finance researchers for COVID-19 patients. Donations are not only made by government leaders on behalf of the country, but also by research institutes, UN and non-profit or philanthropic organizations. Donations collected reached $8 billion, or 120 trillion rupiahs. France, Germany, and Saudi Arabia promised aid of around 8 trillion rupiah each. Japan even promised donations of more than 12 trillion rupiahs. The European Union President also noted the commitment of singer Madonna to contribute at least 15 billion rupiahs. Countries that did not participate in the meeting initiated by the European Union were the United States and Russia. While China, the first country to be infected by corona in December 2019, was only represented by its ambassador. Global solidarity to combat this distress is the first time happened. As the world leaders said at the meeting, this was the first joint movement ever took place. The realization of a joint movement between government along with international organizations, non-profit bodies, foundations, professionals, artists, industry, and scientists at least shows that globally solidarity can be realized on the basis of awareness of overcoming problems. This can be fresh wind amid disputes between countries, armed conflicts, and hostility. Hopefully, this initiative to overcome global problems will not end with the discovery of the corona or COVID-19 vaccines. so that the dream of a peaceful world can be realized. And listener, that was commentary.
Welcome back to Today in History. We start from a story that happened on May 6, 1937, Led Zeppelin exploded. The German Zeppelin airship Hindenburg exploded and caught fire on May 6, 1937. The airship caught fire at exactly 19:25 local time when it was briefly anchored to the connecting pole of the Lakehurst Air Force Station in New Jersey, the United States. Based on records, there were 97 people who boarded the aircraft, 36 of whom died instantly. Cause of the explosion? Allegedly due to the spark of static electricity caused of friction with air. The airship crash incident also ended the era of the airship in the world. Next turn to a history which happened on May 6, 1941, Joseph Stalin was elected as Prime Minister of Russia. Joseph Stalin, the mid-1920s until his death in 1953 with the title of Secretary General of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union from 1922 to 1952 and head of government of the Soviet Union from 1941 to 1953. Stalin also became one of figures who standardized the ideas of Karl Marx and Lenin into Marxism-Leninism. Stalin was the head of government who has policies that quite popular throughout the world. We end with a history on May 6, 1976, Friuli earthquake disaster in Italy. The Friuli earthquake, also known as Terremoto del Friuli in Italy, occurred on May 6, 1976 with a magnitude of 6.5 and an extreme maximum intensity. The earthquake occurred in Friuli region in northeastern Italy near the city of Gamona del Friuli. 990 people were killed, about 3,000 people were injured, and more than 157,000 people were displaced. That was Today in History. We'll be right back.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. For this segment, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Traditional market must still operate amid coronavirus or COVID-19 outbreak. Trade Minister Agus Suparmanto said, in operating, the market must prioritize hygiene of the market, trader, and buyers while still implementing physical distancing, in optimizing the large-scale social distancing in some regions to stop COVID-19 spread. In written statement on Sunday, May 3rd, Minister Agus Suparmanto said that Trade Ministry will cooperate with Home Affairs Ministry, National Disaster Mitigation Agency, and COVID-19 Mitigation Task Force in regions related to monitoring people's market. This aims to keep the markets clean when operating. Agus Suparmanto affirmed this step also aims to ensure basic important goods supplies are available with stable price. Therefore, he asked the regional government associations of city and regency to allow traditional markets in provinces, regencies, cities, and villages open by still obeying safety protocol. The minister explained traders in traditional market decreased averagely 29%. The decrease also happened at traders turnover averagely 39%, resulting from lacking of buyers during COVID-19 outbreak in Indonesia. Similarly, retail business people had their turnover decreased by 90%. Besides that, there was 50% decrease in goods supply that resulted in decreasing ability in fulfilling many responsibilities, such as paying tax, rent, electricity, gas, installment, and employee salary. Measure to operate the people's market was also agreed by COVID-19 Mitigation Acceleration Task Force, Doni Monardo. According to Doni Monardo, Indonesia chose to implement large-scale social distancing instead of lockdown, so some sectors can still operate. National Disaster Mitigation Agency will issue circular letter to the whole COVID-19 Mitigation Acceleration Task Force in provinces and regencies cities to operate traditional market in their region while still implementing health protocol at the markets. Policy to still open the traditional market was also supported by House of Representatives Commission 6. In virtual meeting with Trade Ministry, Home Affairs Ministry, National Disaster Mitigation Agency, and some related associations, Commission 6 conveyed their support to make Indonesian traditional market circulation and ecosystem can still run, so that underprivileged people's economy can still be maintained by continuously prioritizing health protocol. Traditional market must still open and operate optimally, since the market is the distribution chain for farmers and fishermen who sell their products. And listener, that was My Indonesia for today.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Selamat malam kekasihku, selamat malam adindaku. Semoga angan indah bersama selalu lintasi nyenyaknya tidurmu. Selamat malam, oh sayangku, yakin.
lahirkan cinta di diriku.
Sama selalu lintasi nyenyaknya tidurmu.
Esok pasti akan datang, biaskan nada-nada asmara. Tiada ingkar, satu rasa menjalin kasih
hanya denganmu. Cinta di diriku.
Esok pasti akan datang, biaskan nada-nada asmara. Tiada ikat, satu rasa menjalin kasih. Esok pasti akan datang,
listener. You are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, after listening Indonesian song, it is the right time for us to present next segment that talk about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. And here is Indonesian Wonder.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I'm going to let you know Ngayongan Waterfall in Central Java Province. Central Java is one of provinces in Indonesia with Semarang as its capital city. The province has many kinds of nature which can be explored. One of them is a small town in Karangasem, namely Purwodadi. Purwodadi is the main city in Grobogan Regency, Central Java Province, which is located at alternative traffic lanes from Semarang to Surabaya, and becomes connected city and as transit place from cities in the east of Pantura, such as Kudus, Jepara, Pati, Rembang, and Blora to Solo or Surakarta. The small town also presents the beauty of nature which can be enjoyed, namely Ngayongan Waterfall. Ngayongan Waterfall in Karangasem, Grobogan, Purwodadi is one of tourism objects which is located at Karangasem Village, Wirosari District, Grobogan Regency, Central Java Province. Beautiful environment, fresh air, and decorated by lush trees are favorite objects of tourists in weekdays or holidays. The waterfall has a distance 30 km in the east of Purwodadi or 10 km from Wirosari District. It has very fresh water which be enjoyed by playing water in its basin. To go to Ngayongan Waterfall, you can use land transportation. After arriving at Karangasem Village, you must take walk around 300 meters from highway and go down the hill to the waterfall. You do not have to be worried to get lost because the sound of the waterfall can be heard from distance 200 meters. At the waterfall area, there is no vendor or food stall. So you are recommended to bring your own food and beverage. To keep the waterfall area being clean and comfortable, take back your garbage and dispose it in the trash that has been provided at parking space. So what are you waiting for? Set your time for vacation along with your family in here. That was our segment of Indonesian Wonder featuring Ngayongan Waterfall. Tomorrow we will meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye.
Listener, for the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in the Indonesian language on the radio, introducing some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in a conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language and Book Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Menanyakan Tujuan or Asking Destination. Next is a conversation about menanyakan tujuan or asking destination. The conversation is between Kevin and immigration officer. The immigration officer asks about the purpose of Kevin's arrival.
Selamat pagi.
Selamat pagi.
Ini paspor saya, Pak.
Ya. Apa tujuan Anda datang ke Indonesia?
Saya datang ke Indonesia untuk kuliah.
Baik.
After the conversation, now I'll introduce some vocabularies and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Apa, apa, which means what? Tujuan. Tujuan, which means destination. Datang, which means to come. Saya, which means I. Untuk, which means to or for. Kuliah, which means to study or to lecture. Apa tujuan Anda datang ke Indonesia? Apa tujuan Anda datang ke Indonesia? Which means, what is your purpose to come to Indonesia? Saya datang ke Indonesia untuk kuliah. Saya datang ke Indonesia untuk kuliah. Which means, I come to Indonesia to study. In the dialogue, the immigration officer asked Kevin about his purposes to come to Indonesia by using an expression, apa tujuan Anda datang ke Indonesia? You can change the expression apa tujuan into untuk apa. For example, untuk apa Anda datang ke Indonesia? The word untuk is preposition, which is used to express purposes. To respond expression asking for purpose, you can use the word untuk by following your purpose. For examples, immigration officer, apa tujuan Anda datang ke Indonesia? In English, what is your purpose to come to Indonesia? Kevin, saya datang ke Indonesia untuk kuliah. In English, I come to Indonesia for study. Immigration officer, apa tujuan Anda datang ke Indonesia? In English, what is your purpose to come to Indonesia? Kevin, untuk bekerja. In English, for work. Some other expressions to ask people about their purposes. For example, immigration officer, untuk apa Anda datang ke Indonesia? In English, what is your purpose to come to Indonesia? Kevin, untuk kuliah. In English, to study. Immigration officer, apa keperluan Anda datang ke Indonesia? In English, what is your purpose to come to Indonesia? Kevin, saya mau kuliah di Jakarta. In English, I want to study in Jakarta. Immigration officer, ada perlu apa datang ke Indonesia? In English, what is your purpose to come to Indonesia? Kevin, saya mau kuliah di Jakarta. Before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, for more details, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Selamat pagi.
Selamat pagi.
Ini paspor saya, Pak.
Ya. Apa tujuan Anda datang ke Indonesia?
Saya datang ke Indonesia untuk kuliah.
Baik.
That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Nada kasih ku rasakan membara dalam hatiku.
Nada kasih ku ungkapkan dari gejolak hatiku.
Serasa mekar terbit asmara, harum wangi sanubari. Percayalah sayang.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. And listeners, next segment, we would like to give you information about Indonesian music. Hopefully, it can also entertain you. Here is Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, welcome back to Music Corner. Today I present a song from East Java entitled Keraban Sape. The song Keraban Sape was composed by Abdul Jumali. The song narrates a story of cow raising in Madura Island, East Java. The song describes about many people crowded Madura every year to watch the cow race or karapan sapi. Karapan sapi is not only an annual event, but it is also a symbol of prestige for cow's owners who participate in the race. The song Keraban Sape is often sung by various Indonesian choir groups. One of them is a choir group of Sidoarjo High School. They presented the song Keraban Sape at the 5th Singapore International Choral Festival held on July 22, 2018. Well, listener, here is the song Keraban Sape by Iin Hamid. Happy listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Emang dasar laki sekarang gak cukup atuh. Atuh juga agak abis, agak basi. Bang, kenapa giliran aye abang gak pulang-pulang? Kalau udah ame nyang udah kata inget nyang tue.
Bukan abang gak mau pulang,
Listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your kind attention, for listening our English program. And don't go anywhere and keep listening for our another program. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at voindonesia, and our email address voi@voinews.id.